Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and welcome to Tantra Cafe, your program for spiritual enlightenment and hearing everything Tantra. This evening, I have a little change of events. It's going to be a different show. This show's airing on April Fool's Day. So because of that, I've decided to, like, totally change things. And so what's going to happen today is that I interview all these wonderful people that have something to say about Tantra, and I add my two cents here and there while I'm interviewing them. And this evening, for a change, I'm going to be interviewed. I'm going to shamelessly promote my book. And how I'm going to do that is that I have my dear friend and sometimes partner in crime, Michelle Wortman. She's going to be on this show with me tonight, and she's actually going to ask me questions about my book, why I wrote it, you know, whatever she decides to ask. I'm going to surrender myself over to Michelle, and she's going to ask me questions and interview me on my very own show. So I'm kind of excited about that. I like mixing things up sometimes. In a moment, you'll see I like talking about and living in the unknown. So that's what we're doing for this evening's show, for our April Fool-a-mania. We're having Tantra Cafe interviews Lori Handlers. So I hope you enjoy it, and certainly I hope you come back for more. So Michelle, are you there?
Yes, Lori, I am. Hi, it's nice to be with you tonight.
Thanks so much. And in case some of you don't know who Michelle is, first of all, there are two shows that Michelle does with me earlier. She does a really early show with me when I was on another network. Not bbsradio.com. And then she later did a BBS show with me. And basically, Michelle and I work together. We teach courses together. We speak to about 10 times a day. And, we're pretty much inseparable. So I'm thrilled to have her ask me questions. Maybe they're questions she's always been wanting to ask me. I don't know. Okay. Let them roll.
Great. So, Lori, I am, I'm inspired by you always. I'm so privileged and, just a very grateful woman that you are my so close friend, my best friend, my tantrika friend. We started this path together some many 11, 12 years ago or so. And to have you be this extraordinary teacher, author, and tantra master in my eyes. I love you and adore you. And I just want to honor you for a moment in that and say that to you and everyone that's listening, that you have impacted my life and you have inspired me beyond. So thank you for your walk and your walking your talk, actually, is what I'd like to say, and your passion and being true and authentic to what you teach and what you lead always. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That feels wonderful, and I feel really moved by your expression and humbled by it as well. Thank you.
So I'd like to start then now and say your book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, is just so hot. It is so hot. Every part of it. You speak of things, you know, topics that people avoid often, or they write whole books on it and never come to any conclusion. You know, you speak of love and lust and anger and holding the witness. And I'd like to ask you some questions about these distinctions and where you got them and why they're important in Tantra, when mostly in our life, when we hear of Tantra, it's only about the sex. And what you've brought in this book are so many other facets to a loving relationship, to relating with someone with, you know, your passion and your body and your anger and your avoidance and your embracing and all those different facets. So that's where I'd like to begin tonight, asking you the big question that most people do. when I read the introduction and the acknowledgments, that's all very sweet, and I'm expecting step one and two and three and building to some big crescendo, and I open the book, and here is Law 10 first. What is Law 10? And why is Law 10? Why would we not want to wait for the crescendo at the end? Why would you have make love in the unknown as the first tantric law?
Well,
be first.
It's funny. The book came in stages, you know. Five of the laws came first, and then as I was speaking the book into a tape recorder and speaking to my dear friend Karen Kayford, who then helped me get this thing on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other five laws came, and I went, wow, I was writing five, and now all of a sudden there's 10. It wasn't all of a sudden, but in the process there were 10. And then as we were putting it, we were going to go to print. I said, oh, I know. I'll put law 10 first. Make love in the unknown. Because for two reasons. One, because basically that's what it's all about. Letting go of everything known. Letting go of all attachment to the way lovemaking has to be, to the way my partner has to do me or I'm not going to get off, or the way my partner has to be done or your partner, whatever, you know, like
mm-hmm.
making, you know, like letting go of the attachment to how sex and lovemaking has to be in order for me to be happy.
Yeah.
Also letting go of attachment to porno, outside stimulation, fantasy, going away, you know, like stopping breathing and not being present, like whatever people do, whatever their regular groove or their habitual sex addiction or avoiding intimacy addiction, so many things come up.
Right.
I said make love in the unknown because that's really the goal of Tantra. Make love in the unknown, like let it go. When you're speaking about the sex part. So that's like one piece. Another piece is that my whole message, like my whole tantra message is make love in the unknown to life. So be walking through life in an orgasmic state, moment by moment, all the time, even when having a bad day, like be full out orgasmic in the bad day, the good day, the traffic jam, whatever. And make it like making love to life because I think really the Kama Sutra, when we see people in all these sex postures, I think the Kama Sutra is an analogy for connecting our masculine and feminine polarities inside ourselves, connecting them to women and men, connecting to each other, and then like making love in life.
Mm.
So that's basically the point. So that's the long answer.
Yeah.
The short answer is that, as you know, in our workshop, Ecstasy, which is our second level Tantra workshop, we start this fancy dinner called the
mm-hmm.
Gate Dinner, the Beyond Dinner. We start it with dessert first.
Right.
And
that's
I went,
so good.
That's why it's called Beyond Dinner. So I went, oh, I know. I'll start the book with dessert. Make love in the unknown. And then we go back to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 laws, and that's how you get to 10, but why not tell people what it's all about first? So that's the short answer.
That's so good. Makes me want a little chocolate now. Just a little bit, you know. Just a little taster.
Gate,
so
gate. Para sam gate, bodhisvaha. Yes,
yeah,
tell the awakened one. You would have chocolate
right.
now. Yes.
Right.
Yes, yes.
So I'd like to say, you know, that gate, G-A-T-E, it looks like gate, but it said gate, it's a Sanskrit word, and it means beyond. And so I always find you always beyond. You're always going beyond, beyond the beyond. So that's delightful. Thank you for saying that. It's really interesting to hear you speak of it. It's not just making love with your partner. It's actually being love in the world inside of the unknown. and being available and to like not know what's going to happen next.
Right.
It's really cool. It's very good. Thanks for
And you know,
you for,
listen. Yeah, let me add something else too about the unknown. You know, another big practice of ours is Lati Han, and I really do discuss Lati Han in the book as well. Uh-huh. Lati Han is that practice of moving in the unknown, moving with inner guidance. And that to me is like another goal of Tantra, like being able to be okay not knowing. Most people have, you know, a lot of people, I don't want to say most, I don't want to categorize people like that, but a lot of people I know, a lot of people that I've met in my life who I may not know anymore, seem to be stuck in things, in circumstances, in a life that they didn't like so much.
Mm-hmm.
But they would stay in that life rather than get out because they were more afraid of the unknown than they were of the terribleness they were in, the
right.
terrible soup they were in. So they'd go, yes, but, I can't leave because I can't do this because I can't change jobs because I can't quit because I can't whatever.
Right.
Mostly because they were afraid of the unknown, much more afraid of the unknown than anything horrible happening to them that they knew of.
Right.
So Tantra is really about learning to navigate the unknown and then also making love to it. So it's very powerful. It shifts people's paradigms very quickly and allows people to really get a handle on welcoming and moving in the unknown.
Yeah, that's so great. Thank you for adding that. You know, I had a list in a particular order that I wanted to speak to you about, and of course, we've gone another direction now because it's Tantra. It's Tantra. And you've spoken about the being afraid and staying in the familiar and not going into it, too afraid to go into the unknown, not knowing. And it actually brought to mind the law number 5 about speaking your truth. And when I went into this chapter, there's a whole conversation about personal integrity and how when we speak our truth, like people are addicted to looking good, not just being good, but and not just looking good, like my hair is great today, which, you know how I like that, but looking good, like better than others or as smart as. You speak, you actually wrote a paragraph here about yourself. The way I stopped myself from doing that very thing was that if someone called to invite me to an event or to ask me to do something for them, and after I hung up the phone, I realized I had said yes to something I really didn't want to do, I would immediately call back. So this is something that you personally have experienced, that you didn't know what was going to happen on the other side of speaking your personal truth. And you just had to have the courage, like, to make that call and maybe not look good and maybe, you know, not know what was going to happen when you honored your personal integrity. So would you say something about, in the unknown, actually speaking, finding the courage to speak, and what you have to say about that in law number 5?
Well, I guess for me it becomes a choice. I think Tantra, certainly all the transformation work I did before Tantra and then coming up to Tantra, and also aging a little bit, I mean, helps as well. I think, you know, I'm not 21 anymore where I'm, like, really worried about stepping on people's toes or really hurting their feelings and maybe everyone will go away from me. It's a combination of things, but I feel really strongly about being authentic with people and having people be with me because they love who I am. And having me be with me because I love who I am. And when I'm inauthentic, when I don't speak my truth, when I lie because I'm afraid, or I just don't pay attention. Like the thing about saying yes to things that I don't want to do, sometimes it's not even just for approval. Or sometimes in my life in the past, it's been like I wasn't paying attention. Just went yes, and then I went, wait a minute, I don't want to do that. So I just became the kind of person who would say, would call somebody right back and go, you know, I lied about that. I'm sorry if I cost you anything, but rather than you go on a week thinking I'm going to go to that show with you, I'm not going. I don't want to go. And, you know, I hope that our relationship would be okay as a result of it. And usually, I guess in the most important cases, the people I really want in my life, they really stay connected to me and have valued and loved me because I speak my truth. And sometimes it's difficult, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had our outs over things like this, but we keep coming back because we can trust it. Like,
yeah.
You can trust that I'm not going to ever tell you something that's just, you know, not, that's just out. And I'm not going to agree to do something that doesn't work for me at all.
Right.
And I'm pretty consistent with that now. I have to say that, you know, probably a little earlier in my life I wasn't. Or sometimes with a man, you know, in a relationship, I'd do something. I'd compromise something that wasn't really me. And then I'd end up, you know, 6 months, a year down the pike going, who the hell am I in this relationship?
Sure, sure.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so speaking my truth,
good.
It's just, I just, you know, I just take the risk that I'm loved and that I love myself enough to say it. And,
yeah.
You know, like that.
That's great. Well, because I'm going to jump in here and say, because I jumped out of order in the laws a little,
okay.
You know, if we were to come back to, you know, how do you find that courage? How do you find that risky place of speaking your truth? And it actually does come into one of the laws you discuss about being your own witness. And inside of being your own witness, I believe it's the same chapter that, let's just talk about that for a moment. What is the witness? Why would we want that? And, you know, is it like leaving our bodies and taking a look back or like what's going on here?
No, it's really, you know, it's the goal of all meditation to, be able to witness the self, to be witness the self, whether the self is suffering, whether the ego is attached to some, you know, new toy, whatever the drama is, and it's, one of my friends used to call it the Dharma drama. He used to say, you know, karma, dharma, drama. And
that's great. That's so good.
It was on his business card. Karma, dharma, drama. And, you know, it's like human beings are so addicted to the drama. And I certainly was. I remember, you know, like I've been accused more than once in my life of stirring up the pot, you know, because probably I was bored. So I had to like make a big drama. And when I finally got the witness, which was in Tantra, it wasn't from prior meditation techniques. In Tantra is where I really get prior meditation techniques. I used to go right down the little river with the little boat. Watching my thoughts. No, I didn't watch my thoughts. I was my thoughts. I was my judgments. I was my evaluations. I was so far down that little river of meditation that I'd come back in and go, what was that? I wasn't free of that. But in Tantra, I got free of it. I actually got the witness. I got to see that I have a part of me that is unattached and I can watch myself suffering if I am, and I can watch myself joyous if I am, and I can watch myself if I'm just about to get in drama, and I can actually have a choice and stop myself and go, wait a minute,
that's so
I don't
want
to call that person, I don't want to say that, I don't want to confront that. I've actually, because of the witness, learned to choose my battles, whereas before I probably would have just opened my mouth about anything. Or, you know, start up with something. My life is very exciting and adventurous and very busy, but it isn't too dramatic anymore. It's rare that I'm in drama with someone. I'm just not. And it's really because I can catch myself and go, whoa, whoa. You know, do you want to get into the karma, dharma, drama? And I don't. I don't.
That's so good.
I still don't want to do that. Yeah. Listen, we have to take a break. We need to stop for a moment and take a station break, have some sponsors and commercials. So if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com. I'm Laurie Handlers, and tonight I'm being interviewed by Michelle Younger Wortman, who is my friend, colleague, co-teacher. She's interviewing me about my book. And if you want to get my book, you can go to sexandhappiness.com, or you can go to butterflyworkshops.com, or you can go to amazon.com. You can find Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy on any of those. Please stay tuned. We will be right back.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex. Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex. Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex, and it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of Eve's Garden? Eve's Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/tantracafe. Go there now. Okay, we're back. Thank you for staying tuned. This is Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers. And my guest this evening is Michelle Younger Wortman. And she is actually interviewing me like I'm the guest. So it's a different turn of events, and it's actually fun. I like being on the show, being this way.
That's great. And you're such a great guest this evening, Lori. Thank you so much for being so authentic and candid about your life and about your book and what you write. What I do know about your book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, what I know about you and your book is that you live this. It may not be categorized as an autobiography, and yet I know that you've lived every single minute and word of this, all the distinctions and the topics, the exercises that are in the book, the looking into your own life, and I so honor you for that. You know, this isn't just like a conglomeration of things you heard about, but this is from your cellular structure of you and truly from your heart. So thank you for an inspiring and authentic read here. It's awesome.
Thanks. Well, you know, I did, you know, when people ask me what the book's about, I say it's not just another Tantra book. Like, it's not a book on, you know, gazing into, you know, it's Tantra techniques. Gazing into the eyes or touching the genitals in this way or breathing in a certain way or whatever. It really is, the book is really the knowledge that I gained since teaching Tantra for over 10 years now. I mean, it's like the information came to me unexpectedly through the teaching. Yes, I did learn the witness. In meditation, I learned about it. I learned it in Tantra. Excuse me, but it it really is me now. I really am able to be the witness for myself. So it's different. I learned that while teaching.
Yeah, that's great.
It became really in me as a part of my regular repertoire while teaching, more so than while learning. So.
Yeah, that's great. So I'd like to talk about one of the other tantric laws. You have a tantric law in here called please yourself. And so often we hear in tantra, when we think of tantra, when we're told about it, it's about having sex with others, tantric sex, or and all the different connotations, or you know, the things we've heard. And here we're talking about pleasing self. And this chapter is way more about just, well, whether we're left-handed or right-handed in pleasing ourselves. It's about pleasing ourselves. So will you say something about that, please?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think that people are very disillusioned. I think that they're bankrupt. And I felt that they were bankrupt before the stock market went south. People are disillusioned, they're bankrupt, and they're angry a lot. Some people know they're angry, and a lot of people don't know they're angry. Some people are very sad. A lot of people, especially, I'd say the baby boomers, you know, they just, they had a high expectation. Their parents raised them. My parents raised me to have really high expectations and standards about what my life was going to be like. And then, you know, there are many things, you know, the Vietnam War wasn't the only thing that bummed us, but there were a lot of things that just fell short. The marriage divorce rate is so high, and I know that people will have broken hearts. Even if they're in a second marriage or a third marriage that they're happy in now, like they wonder, like, how the hell did my life turn out like this? This wasn't supposed to happen. I was supposed to be like Doris Day in Rock Hudson, you know, or I was supposed to be like the Donna Reed Show or Father Knows Best, you know, something that we saw on TV that looked so good. So the Please Yourself chapter is really about how to take back the power of pleasure. And it's really my responsibility to please myself in my life. It's not my partner's job to try and make me happy. Like, there's no such thing as my partner making me happy. I mean, I've been with a lot of men in my life, and I've loved each and every one of them, but if I was unhappy, they couldn't make me happy.
Right.
What could they do? Like I had to finally contend with myself and go, I'm choosing happiness, just like I'm choosing love. It's just like I'm choosing to be secure, like, and trust. I feel they're all choices. I trust. I come from a position of trust. I will trust you, trust you, trust you, trust you, until you give me reason not to. You know, I will go along. Now, is there an element of untrust in me? Sure. If somebody could push that button, and sometimes they can, but most of the time I just go into things. And so it's the same thing about being happy. I could focus on all the things wrong with everyone, every minute, and then I would be in this wrong paradigm. And I don't choose to do that. So what I've learned and what I'm suggesting to people when they please themselves is both to please themselves in their life, like get over it. Like, express the anger, get it out. You know, I guess you're going to ask me, too, about emotional release. Deal with it. Deal with it, get the feelings out, and then choose consciously to be pleased, to be in pleasure. So then with a partner, if I'm in an intimate situation with a partner, I'm pretty much choosing to please myself. Does that mean I'm going to do myself sexually? I might, but it means mostly that I'm going to be okay with whatever happens. And if I'm not, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say maybe we should part for a while. Or maybe, you know, whatever. But I'm not mad anymore that someone just wasn't doing me the right way. Like, that's just so petty. It's just so, and the responsibility for my own orgasm, the responsibility for my own really let go, surrender into the pleasure is on me.
Yeah.
I breathe and surrender. So.
Yeah,
there it
that's
is.
Really great. So good. Thank you for sharing that. And yes, I am going to speak to you about and ask you about emotional release. And it's one of the basic, it's the tenets of all of our work at Butterfly Workshops, all the courses we lead separately and together. And really, I'd like to quote our dear friend and bestseller.
I want to say one more thing about pleasure.
Of course,
in
this
the
is
course,
your interview.
In the
I
Bliss
want...
course, mm-hmm. I give people 21 days of homework.
Right.
You know, men have to self-pleasure to 3 peaks without having orgasm. They have to transmute the energy, and women have to do the same thing. Men have to do it so that they learn to have pleasure without ejaculation, and women have to do it so that they can, so they open up their vessel or their container, their bodies, for more pleasure. And men are actually opening up their bodies for more pleasure in a different way. They have 21 days of homework where they form a new habit. They form a whole new way of being. They can always go back to the old way.
Right. Yeah,
so
it gives them a choice. They actually
right.
have choice, which is something new in sex.
And they get to expand the pleasure principle. So that's, okay, now we can go into emotional release. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, it's important to complete on that pleasure. That's good. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to
talk
a little.
You were going to quote Dr. Judy.
I'm going to quote Dr. Judy Kuryansky. She's a dear friend of yours and mine in the last few years, and she's written about Tantra, and she's considered an expert here, and she says, as soon as people purge and process the feelings of hurt or anger, they are freed up to experience joy, pleasure, and open expression without fear. So Judy begins with that quote. We begin with her quote. And also, I'd like to add, as soon as we purge and process the feelings of hurt and anger, we actually have a moment of silence. There's a moment of silence. And when you wrote this chapter about emotional release, I think I have a question. Like, some people question me when I speak of it. Well, why do I have to move? Like, how come I have to do this motion on the floor or raise my voice louder than the TV or whatever? Why can't I just, like, talk it out or express it out? And if you would draw the distinctions for us, like how you do it in the, how you speak in the book about why physical, why the physical movement?
Well, I have learned in my life that talking about my problems doesn't make them go away. I've spent a lot of times, I mean, not many years, but some years in talk therapy. And when I left my session, I would feel relieved and vindicated and, you know, a little better. 2 seconds after I got back to my apartment or got on the phone with somebody or whatever, I would feel the same exact thing. Like, nothing got alleviated. I didn't work it out. And so I've learned in Tantra that everything has a physical component, and that it's in the cellular memory of the body, there are the hurts and the traumas and the past experiences, and they could be as small as, I always use this one, getting splashed on by the school bus, you know, in third grade, and having all the kids in the class see that I was splashed on, and so I was humiliated. Or it could be as big as I was sexually violated by someone when I was little. I mean, that trauma can be anything. It could be that I wanted a certain toy and my mom didn't want to get it for me. I'm speaking in the eye because I just want people to know it can be anything. Not, these things didn't necessarily happen to me, but in the body, and especially in the sex area or the sex chakra, these painful experiences are stored. So we do emotional release where we do movement. We build a sexual charge in the body by doing a certain breath called charging breath. Then we move our arms. We could be laying down on the floor. We could be standing and just breathing through the nose. But we do a certain breath, and then we use the arms in a certain way to really get the energy moving in our bodies and the sexual energy moving up through our bodies. And then it's really critical that we use sound to let it go. We have to use sound. Sound bring combined with potent sexual energy makes it come out and get released. And we don't need words. We don't need to talk about it. We actually need to make sound. The sound releases it, just like really great sound releases a great orgasm. And I highly recommend sound for people who are quiet in the bedroom, I think. And sometimes it's cool to be quiet, but sound really gets the juices flowing. In this case, emotional release, we maintain the witness at the same time as we're making the movements, and we make the sound come out of our mouths to release the stored stuff from ourselves. And it works. And it works. It works better than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's
or experienced.
Great.
Yeah.
That's so good. Thank you for distinguishing that different from other ways of getting calm and letting go. Yeah, it's very nice.
Well, you know, when I first came to New York, there were people who were practicing some other forms of Tantra. I lived in Washington, D.C. at the time, and there were people practicing other forms of Tantra, which were really sensual and touchy and cuddly, but nobody was, like, dealing with this stuff. Mm-hmm. And when I first came, they called me the Tantra boot camp. You know, I was like the drill sergeant in the Tantra boot camp.
I remember.
And everybody was like, they got scared, you know. They were like, she's making us, like, yell and pound on the floor. And I said, how could you put pleasure on top of toxicity? Like, if you're storing traumas in the sexual center of your body and you're not releasing them, how are you going to have pleasure? How is that possible?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So they came to see that, you know, they stopped laughing at me, and they stopped, you know, they all joined on the bandwagon of doing emotional release. And I'd say that's what Butterfly Workshops is the most known for. You know, the amazing creations and forms of emotional release that we have will release at any, you know, at any given second if just given the chance.
Right. I'm going to give a personal experience of you.
Sure.
And I. We were about to go lead a course. We were in a hotel room, and we took a moment. I was geeked up about something, not going to go well. I could not lead on top of it. And we just took a moment, and we stood there, and we put our hands up, and we did our emotional release, our yoga boxing. We could do it with our suits and our high heels on because it didn't take that physical hitting the floor, what we call hitting the floor. And we yoga boxed in a hotel room, and we didn't scream our lungs out. We just said what we needed to say really hard and fast. And I brought it up from that place where it was hurting me, where I was resentful and, I had felt disrespected. And man, it brought it up. It rode that emotion of what I called disrespect and anger, rode my sound up, my voice up and out, and you just caught it, and then you said what you had to say back, and it wasn't even about you. It wasn't about me. It was about something that we really had no control over from the day before. So
right.
It's quite cathartic. if you will, to get that out. And it doesn't have to be something that wrangles us to tears and reliving it over and over. But the so many ways that we do have emotional release, releasing that emotion that no longer serves or is getting in the way of our intention, that does delineate butterfly workshops as a tantra of integrity that other tantras aren't actually teaching that.
No. I mean, a few are, but not that often. And I don't, you know, it's like, how can, for the life of me, I can't get it. Like, how can people just go right for the pleasure? They've got to go for the pain and they've got to get it released or else I can't, you know, I just don't know. It would never be possible for me. I had so much pain inside myself. I had so much to get out. And I, you know, I'm pretty pain free now. It's really, I walk around like going, wow, how did I live?
Right.
How was I living before?
Yeah. How did I even smile through any of that? Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. I remember that day. It was a great day. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would like to, we're winding down on time here.
Yeah. We have to take it. We have to take a little break here again.
And then I have one more question for you.
Okay, well, we'll take a question right after the break.
Okay.
In case you just tuned in, you are listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handler, your host. Tantra Cafe speaks about everything Tantra. And tonight, my guest is Michelle Wortman, who is interviewing me about my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, which you can get at butterflyworkshops.com or amazon.com. And please do get it. It's fun. It's like actually talking to me. We'll be right back. I'm Laurie Handler, host of Tantra Cafe, and this year I'm inviting you to join me on an adventure tour in the Himalayas. Listen to what's in store. First, you'll see the Taj Mahal, because I wouldn't bring you all the way to India and not have you experience this wonder of the world. Then you'll travel to the foothills, experiencing Hindu prayer and rituals on the banks of the Ganges in Rishikesh, the self-proclaimed yoga capital of the world. Next, you'll explore the temples and evening rituals of Haridwar, a famous Hindu pilgrimage spot. Then you'll visit Dharamsala, home of the Dalai Lama and the Tibetan government in exile. Here, you'll have a chance to visit Buddhist monasteries and the Maklad Ganj Bazaar. But the most adventuresome part really begins when you jeep the world's first and second highest motorable highways. The views are breathtaking and spectacular as the tour makes its way to some of the world's highest places. Sarchu, Hemis, Shay, Leh, and Hunder, where you'll enjoy a ride on a two-hump camel. This trip is only for the physically fit. Please call me at 202-686-7440 or email me at laurie@butterflyworkshops.com. You don't want to miss this amazing opportunity. It's an adventure. The Himalayas await you. If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@DeLoneFinancialGroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
back, and we're winding down now. You've just tuned back into Tantra Cafe. You can email me if you have any questions about tonight's show at laurie@butterflyworkshops.com. You can always also visit my website, tantracafe.com, if you want to get all the back programs of Tantra Cafe. It's my pleasure to have them available for you. And Michelle, please carry on. You said you had one more question for me.
I do, and then we're going to go off and talk about anything we want. So right before our dessert law of making love in the unknown, you actually have a very powerful tantric law in your book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. And law number 9 is about surrender.
Mm.
Oh, like, let me take off my old white latex and put it on a stick and wave it and surrender and, like that. Actually, I don't think, not you, my darling. You would never write anything about that.
No,
I would like to quote, in your book, you quote Katharine Hepburn, and she says, love has nothing to do with what you are expecting to get, only with what you are expecting to give, which is everything. So will you say, talk about surrender in the tantric way.
Yeah, well, after doing these practices, you know, really after doing the breathing techniques, doing emotional release, practicing Lati Han, practicing honoring your anger, practicing speaking your truth, and so on, which are the laws, and setting boundaries. After all these things, it's kind of is a prescription. And then we get to number 9, which is surrender, right before making love in the unknown, when it comes back around again the second time in the book. Surrender becomes easier and easier. Like, it's not surrendering to an enemy. It isn't saying you win, I lose. It's really surrendering to what it is I want, to what it is that gives me the greatest joy, the greatest pleasure, the most passion. And that is, you know, being at peace with myself, being at peace with you, my friend, being at peace with my partner, being at peace with the world, and really joyousness. So it may take me letting go of a habit of wanting to fight or fight it out in the middle of a fight and going, you know, I'm not fighting anymore. I'm choosing to shut up. I'm choosing to not continue this. I'm choosing to stop. I surrender to what my heart wants, which is really to be at peace. And it's a maturing. It's like a, for me, it came as a maturing, like being able, like I said before, like being able to pick my battles. I really fight a lot less. I mean, I remember a time, you know, when I worked, you know, at Landmark Education, for example. I mean, I fought every day. They used to let my staff, the whole staff would laugh. Oh, Laurie's fighting. I would just fight. I would see red all the time. Coming from my first chakra, I mean, I had a lot to work out, and I didn't know how much. And most people don't know how much. It takes them by surprise. And then as each year went, as I continued the practices, and as I said, it didn't take too long. I got much more peaceful in the first year. I got more peaceful in the second year, the third year. I mean, now it's been however long, since 1996, I've been practicing Tantra. Whatever that process has been for me, it takes very little now. I can clear myself in minutes. It's not the same thing as talking clearing. I can do some physical practice for 5 minutes and get clear. And once I'm clear, what do I choose? I choose to surrender to the way it is.
Yeah.
Can I make change in the world? Yeah. This is what I say to people all the time. If you're suffering, you're adding suffering to the world. If you're joyous, you're adding joy to the world. Well, I choose joy. I choose to end suffering in my own body, minute by minute, and keep bringing joy to myself, pleasure to myself, orgasm to myself, and peace in the world.
Yes.
And
so good.
And it's really surrendering to what is. I might not be able to, you know, I might not be able to do anything about the stock market, but I'm doing something about my own personal finances. I may not be able to do anything about Al-Qaeda, but I'm doing something about my own personal terrorism. I may not be able to do anything about rape, but I'm doing something about my own empowerment and empowerment meaning the absence of victimization. And on and on. I mean, I'm choosing on all those fronts every day.
Right.
And I'm choosing my vision, women and men dancing in eternal ecstasy on earth now. And that's tantric. And I believe that inside that vision is world peace, because I think that all disharmony happens because of women and men not dancing.
Right. I'm going to quote you. I'm going to quote you in this chapter. You say, when you choose to surrender, you choose to stop wasting your precious energy on fear and defensiveness, and you begin down the wildly different path of acceptance and trust instead. You choose love. And after your childhood programming of fairy tales and Hollywood movies, you might think that love just happens, but no. You have to choose to love consciously over and over again. It seems harder than reacting in fear and hostility, because it is. Choosing love requires conscious awareness. It's just
beautiful.
Who wrote
that? I'm impressed.
I love that. I'd love to just grab that author and squeeze her and just surrender to her.
Well, thank you so much. I must say, you know, we have to wind down, but I really must say that writing the book was a total joyous birthing, if you will, experience of really just saying what was so for me. As a result of, it came from everything that I have ever done. It's not, you know, Tantra certainly wasn't the first transformational vehicle that I used, but Tantra, like, just connected the dots for me and made me more peaceful, made me feel good in my body, and the practices are so easy. It's not rocket science, and it doesn't take long. It's
so
just
good.
Been a great path. So then writing Sex and Happiness was just, you know, the next thing. It just, and by the way, there will be a sequel. I have five more laws. So, or actually they're not, they might be five agreements. I'm going to compete with the four agreements.
Right. Let's have some tantric agreements. Right. Very good.
I'm not sure what they're going to be yet, but there is another book coming out of me now. So,
very good.
So it'll be out soon. Yeah.
Lori, I want to thank you so much for joining yourself and myself this evening as the interviewee. Your book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, is available at butterflyworkshops.com, amazon.com, and at sexandhappiness.com. And so when you want this book, tonight, tomorrow morning, very soon, please go to one of those three places and order that book now.
Now, I want to say one more thing. If you buy the book, you get a 2-for-1 offer. You and someone else can come to my Bliss course. Two people can come for the price of one for the simple buying of this book for $20. So that's going to be good for the rest of 2009. So I would love that. I would just so love that. Anyway, thanks, Michelle, so much for interviewing me tonight. It's my pleasure to have had you again on the show. This show is one of the best things that ever happened for me. And I'm thrilled that you could make it. I'm thrilled that anyone who's listening tonight can make it. And I'm going to say namaste for Tantra Cafe.